Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the Book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie,
that government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we will have Joanne joining us here in just a second. And if you out there in Radio Land want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208. So 319-527-6208. Press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. All right, so let's go ahead and bring Joanne in here. Joanne, welcome in.
Hey, Proof. Hey, everybody out there in Freedomizer world. I'm so happy to be here tonight. I'm so excited. We got a lot of news to share. So it's good to be with you, friend. What's up tonight?
Well, thank you. So what's the latest with you?
Yesterday, I had an opportunity to travel. We left here at 9 o'clock in the morning, took a three-hour trip over to Miami, went to court with Trump. You had to see the place, Proof. There had to be 100,000 or better people. Where I was at the back of the building, there had to be 100,000 just there. And I posted a video that Dan Scavino had posted. And those people were at the front of the building. We had to go around. There was wall-to-wall people. Every media in the world was there. A lot of podcasters were there, too. So, I mean, everybody was there. I got to tell you, the Cuban community, the Cuban-American community over there, they were the dominant people in that crowd. Let me tell you, they are passionate about stopping the direction this country is headed in. They are trying to warn everybody that we're headed straight into socialism. Cuban used to be a really nice place that was, you know, where the rich and famous went to vacation. And then it all went south. And they see that happening to us. Black people were there. Blacks for Trump. There was a lot of people, every ethnic group there. It was so nice. Old people and young people were there. Middle-aged people. I was looking at everything. I paid close attention to everything. But I'll tell you, they are passionate, and boy, do they love Trump. I don't think a lot of people in this country understand Trump supporters. Like I said, they're passionate, and they are only Trumpers. They are not just anybody. They were saying, you know, he's the only man on the planet who can help us. And all these charges are bogus, as, of course, everyone must know by now. That grand jury weren't even told about the Clinton sock case or the Presidential Records Act. So that grand jury, that's just all smoke and mirrors, too. But let me tell you something. If the people I saw in Miami yesterday are going to be in that jury pool, I don't know, man. They very much like Trump. I thought I was a solid Trump supporter until I met these people. Oh, my goodness, are they solid. So, you know, I was worried about it being in Miami because Miami is actually a blue area. But
that's true.
That
might be why they chose Miami, because it has to be in Florida, and they figured that was their best chance.
Yeah, well, I think they messed up because the people that I saw, yes, and there were lots of them. Proof, I've been to quite a few Trump rallies and large crowds. This was the biggest crowd I'd ever seen so far. And there was a steady parade. You know, the way that Miami is built, it's built in grids, so the blocks are actually blocks. And there was a steady stream of car caravan, cars and trucks and, like, special cars and a big TV on the side of a truck. There was people that had shrink wrap. They had, like, Humvees and stuff all decorated, all in Trump gear. And it was a steady stream, never ending, the entire time we were there. These people were just parading in cars. It was amazing. There was helicopters in the air. There were drones. There was tons of security. I know I had heard that the Secret Service wasn't going to make any special accommodations for Trump. But let me tell you, Ron DeSantis must have put it all together then. But there was feds galore. I mean, there was DHS and Secret Service and, you know, federal marshals. There were state police.
Joanne, my wife needs me for just a second here, so I need like 2 or 3 minutes at the most.
Sure. I'll just continue talking. There was Miami-Dade police there. Everybody was there. But the podcasters, you know, there was some agitators there, too. I can't say that. There was a few kids running around, you know, saying bad words, calling people Nazis and bigots. And one guy did get offended to be called a Nazi because he was Jewish. He was there with his rabbi. But, you know, he started to get loud back, and the crowd all jumped in, and they were like, no, man, just don't let him trip you, because that's a trap. And, you know, if you keep screaming, we're going to think you're a Fed, too, and one of those paid agitators, so mellow out, dude. And they did, you know. So the guy finally calmed down, and a couple of people talked him off the edge. But, you know, the kids, that they had their faces covered, and, you know, the purple hair and the pink hair, and, you know, they were walking through the crowd with signs. There was another guy that was dressed in a prison stripes, and he had a F Trump, and he belongs in jail and all of that stuff on. But, you know, a couple people yelled comments to him, but nobody touched them. There was no violence, zero violence. I was there early and stayed till close to the end. No violence at all. Even the people that were there to try to trigger the crowd, they just got blown off. You know, people just roll their eyes and laugh at them and walk by. So that was okay. They had a lot of cops around them. You know, there was a group of them standing on a corner shouting insults and stuff. And there was a bunch of police that had surrounded them as, you know, for protection, I guess. But they didn't need protection. Nobody even cared. They were all there for one purpose, and that was to support Trump. You know, like I said, it was one of the biggest crowds I had seen. And the day before, there was a group of people who went from Miami over to Doral, where Trump was, and they had another motor parade. So then they escorted him down this way. They closed off 95, too, you know, for one section when Trump was going by. So, I mean, there was plenty of police protection. I was so afraid that, you know, they were setting him up to get hurt. And, you know, a lot of people felt the same way. So, you know, they would have had to go through all of us to get to him. I don't know, man. There was so many people. That you're not going to see that on mainstream media either. No one on mainstream media is going to tell you about the size of that crowd. And I saw one report that said there was a couple of hundred people there. There was a couple of hundred people standing on one corner. The place was, it's a huge, huge building. It's like a building complex. It's like 3 or 4 buildings inside this little section. And the whole place, every inch of that place had, I don't know, 50 to 100 deep people. And there were vendors there. Every media was there. There were so many of those satellite trucks parked all around that place. And they had all their wires running everywhere and generators going. But the crowd that was there, they were playing music and they were giving speeches. And, you know, it was a lot of people were dressed up in all the red, white, and blue and carrying American flags. And, you know, I talked to as many people as I could. And one woman, she was the sweetest, sweetest thing. I understand a little bit of Spanish, but not enough to say that I can have a whole conversation. This woman talked to me for like 20 minutes, and she told me about Cuba, and she told me about her granddaughter, and, you know, how her granddaughter was coming over, and she couldn't wait to get here to freedom, and they had been waiting a long time. And so she was going on and on about how this country is headed for very bad things, and, you know, she doesn't want it to happen here. And now all those people there don't want socialism. They don't want us to be a totalitarian country. They don't want any part of that. And they can see it coming. These people have lived through it. So if anybody who has an idea of what's going on, it would be these people that were there yesterday, the Cuban-American community. Oh, their music was great. Their outfits were great. That guy was so just excited to be there. It was something to behold. You know, I mean, it was. I know it was all about Trump and everything, but what I was looking for was unity. You know, when people started talking to each other, they didn't realize that everybody around them was feeling the same way because people are afraid to speak up. That's what they were saying. You know, they don't want to get ridiculed. You know, they don't want their family to say, oh, we're not talking politics and stuff. But once they realize the size of the crowd and they realize our numbers, they start to open up. And, you know, a couple of them would whisper, I'm feeling the same way. You know, but, and then they look around to see, you know, who's listening. But, you know, it really was. It was something to behold. I don't know if more people could have come. The place was packed. And it's told that Trump raised $6.6 million just yesterday. Today's his birthday, by the way. But yesterday he raised $6.6 million. And I'll tell you, last night he gave the most defiant speech that I have heard him give so far. I mean, he's going to put them all in jail. He said he's going to hire special prosecutors and he's going to finish that wall and he's going to end the war in Ukraine. You know, we just
and I believe them. Him.
Yeah, I do believe him, too. You know, we just sent them a couple of $1 billion today. Another
yeah,
$2 billion.
Yes.
Yeah, well,
because
he says he's going to end that in 24 hours.
That Tucker Carlson was talking about yesterday. I don't know if you saw him discuss.
No,
but
I didn't see his yesterday's show.
Thing,
I was in Miami.
Yeah, I figured. But the one thing that they really hate Trump on is the fact that he's not starting any wars, and he's trying to end the war. What they want is perpetual war.
Right. Yeah, that's how they get very rich. And,
yeah,
you know,
so,
then they destroy all our equipment or get rid of it or abandon it, and then we need more equipment, so we got to spend more money on them.
Well, that's what we did in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know where we're going to fuel these equipment up if we're not drilling for our own oil. It's going to cost us a fortune. We're going to spend money. We're going to have to give money to countries that we're at war with.
Yes,
for
but
oil.
It's liberal, though.
Mm-hmm. And last night, even Trump said they're pulling tar out of Venezuela when we got beautiful, sweet oil here. And they're sending it to Houston to be refined. We only have 3 refineries left. So, I don't know. I don't know. If Trump doesn't make it, we're in trouble.
No, and then you have you brought up DeSantis earlier, but my wife needed me for a second.
Mm-hmm.
There's talk now that they're going to go after DeSantis just as hard. And you have Governor Grusom, whose life's opus is to destroy DeSantis.
Yeah, everybody's got somebody tailing them, shadowing them. Chris Christie's only job is to go after Trump. You're right. Newsom's only job is to go after DeSantis. Well, they're not going to be any better to DeSantis or to Tim Scott or any Republican. They got away with it. If they get away with it with Trump, they're going to continue to do it. Why stop if it's so successful? They'll never stop. And we got to stop asking the people who put us here to get us out. Why would they get us out? They put us here.
See, I think the only ones that they won't mess with are the ones that we have no interest in. Chris Christie has done enough solids for the Democrats that they won't try to arrest him.
No.
Maybe they can give enough favor to Mike Pence to testify against Trump that they won't go after him.
Mm.
But they're both one and outsides, though. So they would.
I think they'll say ha ha sucker and go after every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If any one of them dares makes it to the top of the nomination, besides Trump, they will do exactly to him what they did to Trump. I'm sure they'll find something on all of them. And if not, they'll create something like they're doing now.
Yeah.
But you know what they've done. And they better pray that they are always in power from this point forward because they have set precedent. If it's okay to go after a former president or a secretary of state or any of that, let's do this. You know, are you sure you really want this? Because right now they're going after Trump and all these fools applauding it and saying, yeah, get Trump, get Trump, get Trump, not realizing that once you open this door, you can't close it again. And they can go after Obama if the other side chooses to and they're in power. And they can go after Biden and they could go after Clinton and they could go after anybody they want. They could go after the Bushes. Once you open that door and make it okay to go after presidents, a stupid, made-up, administrative stuff. This isn't like he was sharing these documents. It wasn't like he was selling them to the Chinese or the Ukrainians or to the Romanians, mm-hmm. Or the Russians. No, he wasn't. They were locked in a room. They had to hire a safe cracker to go into his safe. And then they didn't even find anything in there. But those documents, you know they planted them on the floor. Documents
right.
weren't out on the floor. And just by if those weren't, see, that's how you can tell they weren't real documents. Because if they were real and they put a picture of them out, you shouldn't even know the existence of those files, let alone what's in them. So by taking that picture and posting it, they divulged classified information if
right.
those were real. See, anything they show us, it can't be real. It's a lie. Because if they were to show us real files, they'd all be in jail. So those are not real files. Those are staged.
So what I was mentioning earlier with DeSantis and Gruesome, Governor Gruesome wants to have DeSantis put behind bars for many years because he kidnapped illegals and brought them to California.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he kidnapped them. Full-grown adults who asked to go to California or asked to go to New York or wherever they went.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just scoop them up off the street, throw them on a bus, and take them off to parts unknown. That didn't happen.
Right.
You know,
so,
people voluntarily went there. Not everybody coming across that border
that.
Wants to stay in Texas.
I'm in agreement with that, but see, and this is why it's dangerous for DeSantis to not come out support Trump on this.
He really should. They all should be supporting Trump.
No. Yeah, I mean,
you know,
yes,
but you can't get three Republicans
see,
in the same room to agree on anything. They are the weakest.
But the only one, Joanne, that's giving him any support is Vivek Ramaswamy.
I know. He's out there. Yeah, he's doing it for himself too, because he can see. But yeah, he is defending Trump. He's defending the office of the president. He's defending the integrity of that office. You know, as much as he's defending Trump, you know, he has to say these things. The others are idiots. The others should be out there screaming about it, too.
The more
you
I
want
see
to be president, but you don't want to stick up for
the
office.
I like him, Joanne.
I like him very much. Who knows? You know, maybe Trump would pick him for vice president. That wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Tim Scott was way up there, but after this stuff where they're all trying to be cute. I don't know how these people have not learned, Joanne, is once you play with the woke crowd, they don't care. Once you are on the other side, they'll always treat you that way. So being nice to them so that they don't pick on you today, it doesn't make a bit of difference because they're just coming after you later.
Right. Yeah, they're just saving you for later. Let me tell you something. None of those Republicans are safe from the Democrats. If they are successful in this endeavor, to destroy Trump, they're going to destroy anyone else in their way. You know, why would you stop an operation that's successful? I mean, if you fail, you could say, okay, we're going to change things up. But if you succeed in your endeavor, then, you know, you're going to do it again and again and again and again and again. That's how dynasties fall.
It's just so blatant, though, just like Trump said, that we're in a nation of big decline and we're doing it to ourselves on purpose.
Yeah, we're committing national suicide. But they got us so afraid to talk to each other. You know how we're talking right now? You're never going to hear that in a restaurant unless you start it, or in a bar or a social club or a social event. People are so afraid to talk about these things for fear they're going to be ridiculed or called a Nazi or a racist or whatever it is. People, they're calling your names like 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. You know, they might as well say you got cooties. It means the same
thing.
That's
true. So the latest, Joanne, is they're now calling Islam's white supremacists.
Well, why? Because of the gay thing?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
they're not celebrating Pride Month. So
they just now found out?
Mm-hmm. Well, not all gays are white either, and not all gays are black. I don't know what makes them a white supremacist. These people that are always talking about white supremacy, they're the ones that are the white supremacists. Like Joe Biden, he's talking about white supremacists. If you believe in white supremacy, then you believe in black inferiority. And it's you the blacks should be concerned about, you who think you're so powerful and so much better than them that you got to rush in and save them and control their lives. That's
what gets me is the people that generally call us those names are white liberals. So those are the white supremacists.
Exactly. They're the ones that think blacks are inferior. They're the ones that think the blacks need their ever so white liberal presence in their lives. They don't think that black people can control their lives or their families or anything. So they're stepping in with all their little, you know, operations in their statutes and everything. You know, they are dumbing down the black community. They're not helping them to achieve. They're making it okay to fail. But, I mean, they're just pushing kids through school. They can't read. You know, they're teaching them how to be activists. They're not teaching them their multiplication tables. They're never going to be scientists. They're never going to be doctors. They're never going to be engineers. They can't read. They can't do math. So that's all they're going to be. And that's intentional. You know, we should be teaching the children how to read, how to do math, how to think. We should be teaching them critical thinking.
Instead, in a sixth grade math class, and this went viral, that you have a teacher that's required by her state that she has to show LGBT stuff. And so they show videos of two people of the same sex doing stuff together. And the kids are booing. They don't want to see that. They're getting disruptive. And the teacher's like, this is the lesson. If you don't like it, you're going to get detention all of next year.
Right. Yeah, so these kids are being coerced and strong-armed into sitting there through these presentations. The kids are actually smarter than we give them credit to be, the ones that are booing and, you know, hissing at it.
See, I think that there's a divide here, Joanne, because the kids that finished high school during the COVID years, I think those are the last pieces of the slave mentality ones. I think the ones that are about to go to high school now, I think they've seen it. And I think that's going to be the people that will be for change, not the ones that just graduated, but the ones that are just getting into high school. I think that's our future.
Yeah, well, the ones that are just graduating, the ones that were allowed to learn something will be going on to college, you know, more to reaffirm their activism. But the ones that didn't graduate, the ones that weren't allowed to graduate, what are they going to do? You know, they got to get step. They got to step up. They got to step up for themselves. You know, those kids got a tough road ahead if they can't read and write and do math. We are setting them up to fail in all of our schools. You know, they want them to know all about transgenders and gays and all of that. What does that have to do with them becoming a doctor or an engineer?
Well,
right?
The plan is for them to eliminate humans, and you'll just have AI that figures everything out.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do?
I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's the plan.
Yeah, well, with that artificial intelligence, it has to run on a power source. And what if the country gets hit with an EMP? You're going to go back to the Stone Age if you don't know what you're
right.
doing.
Yes.
You don't have any survival skills. I mean, these kids wouldn't know how to lay a brick or hammer a nail or saw a piece of wood accurately. You know, they wouldn't know how to put down a floor or any of that. You have to know square footage.
They can't even cook their own dinner on a grill.
Right. Or even how to operate the grill.
Yes.
These kids can't make fire. That's the one thing you should teach your kid, is how to make a campfire. That could save their life someday. Kids, I know people who can't make fire. It's sad. I'm very worried about our future. I'm very worried about the direction of this country. I'm very worried that people are feeling so abused, so Stockholm syndrome, so suppressed and oppressed that they won't even speak out about it, never mind take action. And they have nobody to lead them other than one man on the whole planet. That's it. That's what you got. You know, love them or you hate them. It doesn't matter anymore. That's what you get. And the direction this country is headed, we better do something. We can't fool around
Trump
anymore.
Trump is extremely correct when he says this is the last battle.
It is. It is. You want this country or you don't. It's time to decide that. Because it's gone too far. We've already lost this country. We're going to have to claw it back. These people think they've won. They're not even afraid to tell us what they're doing to us.
No, look at Brandon when the reporter asked him if he's worried about the upcoming investigations into him. He just stands there, smiles, and walks away.
He's like, no, I got this in the bag. I'm untouchable. There's very powerful people behind me that aren't going to let that happen.
And that's how he's running his candidacy so far. He acts like he already knows that he won the re-election, so he doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to come out of his basement. He doesn't have to talk to reporters. He doesn't have to do campaign speeches. Doesn't have to do fundraisers. It's all being done for him. All he's got to do is sit there and drink his insure and have his ice cream and talk about the good old days when kids were rubbing his hair on his legs.
And try not to fall.
Right. Oh, yeah, he's got to try to stay vertical, too. They should at least get him one of those walkers to steady him. You know, maybe it doesn't look presidential. He's supposed to look youthful and vibrant. And you know how he does that little half-jog walk. That's probably because he's losing his balance. That's how he's keeping it. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I took no pleasure in seeing him fall. I don't want anyone to think I did. But, you know, I actually felt pity for him. Not for his politics. You know, I'd rather see him healthy and behind bars for the treasonous things that this man has done and continues to do. I don't even know if people know the definition of treason anymore. Maybe we should start talking about that. Maybe we should go back to the actual definition of words. You know, things, when you change the language and change the meaning of words, people just get not interested in learning. But I think that we should be talking about treason. You know, and these people that rigged these voting machines. So how much was it? What was your price for selling out your country? What did you get out of it? You feel good about yourself? You happy? You involved yourself in that?
If you sell out the country and the country loses its currency, then what do you end up with at the end?
Yeah. And believe me, you'll get no love from me if you rigged a machine or you interfered with an election in any way, made sure you didn't have enough ballots or didn't have the right size paper. So the machines rejected your ballots and you did it intentionally. Really, what was it worth? What were you paid to sell out your country? And I hope it was worth it. Because, like Proof just said, when the value of the dollar deteriorates, when you need a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread, you screwed yourself too. You know, and just like these people are screwing themselves with all these lawsuits. This is called guerrilla lawfare. And Joe Biden told us he was going to do it to Trump. He did it on his acceptance speech. He said that he was going to do whatever was allowable in the Constitution to see to it that Trump never runs for office again. They always tell us what they're going to do. But people just glossed over that. You know, oh, yeah, get Trump, but they're not seeing how it's going to get them, too. Because what are they going to do if something amazing happens like happened in 2016 and that man does win? Do you know what that's going to do? You know what it's going to do to all the rhinos who try to stop him and all the Democrats who try to stop him and all those cutthroat people and all these agencies who try to stop him? You know what that would do? Wow. You know, they're setting up for, I think, a civil war. I think that's what they want. They want us to really do damage to each other, and each other is not the problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just look so much like this is Germany from 90 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because Germany is the only other country that I can remember in recent history that not only fought against the world, but fought their own people and
mm-hmm.
placed their own people in camps and executed them.
Right.
We're about to do the same thing. And what separates that from Pol Pot or Mao or any of these other ones?
Yeah.
But the difference is that they think they could fight a war inside America and outside at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's very difficult to do. But I'll tell you, they might end up
backfiring.
Not only is it
difficult, but you don't have the military for that. Nobody wants to sign up for the military. And those that are in there are more worried about, or the military has them learning about gender studies more so than getting ready for battle.
Yeah, well, you see what happened in Egypt.
I can't think of one scenario, Joanne, where you wear high heels for several days to win a battle against your enemy.
Well, see, all through history, any country that was conquered, the conqueror mm-hmm. feminized the men and humiliated the men. And that's what's happening now to America. Our men are being humiliated. Men are very important. And they're being made to feel like they're nothing but a disposable, you know. I mean, men are not disposable, but they're being treated as they are. And when they're being treated as they're disposable, they're going to act like they're disposable. But the conqueror always feminizes the men. So they think they've conquered us already. And that's what's happening to our country. We can't let that happen. Men and women are very, very important. And women are being eliminated too. You know, you just had a trans female win the cycling championship. You know, what's in her head, fine. She's an adult. What's in her head, go ahead. But her body is that of a man. And the competition is not fair. And now, even lesbian women are being eliminated. They're calling them non-male attracted person. Non-male attracted person. That's a lot of words, anyhow. But, you know, non-male attracted, so male is dominant. Yeah, they want men to be dominant, women eliminated, and men be feminine. That's messed up, all right? I don't care who likes it and who doesn't. An agenda this big that every school child has to be exposed to it, it's messed up. And you all know it. Yes, there's gays in this world. Yes, there are trans in this world. But leave the children out of it. Even children who think they're trans. You let them become adults first. And when they're adults, they can make that decision. And it doesn't have to be made for them. Because what if you're making the wrong decision for them? Let them make their own decision when they're old enough.
I don't know. Who is that? Kristen Fox? Kristen Fox, I don't know her exactly. Megan Fox? I just know there's someone with a lady named Fox that wants all of her kids to be the opposite gender. And I think there's two boys, or maybe there's three. I don't know. But they tell people that I don't want to be a girl. And she says, basically, shut up. You're a girl. So why is it that the parent gets to decide in that case? If you're the opposite gender, it's okay if the parent makes that decision for you. But if you want to say that you're a boy and a normal parent says, no, you're a girl, then that parent can get arrested in California. But it's okay if it's the other side?
No, it's not okay then either. None of it's okay. Leave the kids alone. Let those children become adults. If they want to be a boy or a girl, you know, I mean, as they turn into teens and stuff, you'll see more and more signs of them transitioning, if that's really what's happening. But you'll also see signs of them maturing in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Children go through phases too. And especially if all their peers are being forced down their throat that they're gay or they're fluid. Kids will just say they're fluid. They don't know what their gender is. Just to fit in. And like that woman who said that all four of her children are homosexual or trans. Well, that's her. She's got a form of like Munchausen's or something. Just to fit in because she wants to be with the old so woke crowd that she's going to do it at the expense of those children. You know, let these children become adults and make their own decision, one way or the other.
And these people act like that their children are not part of their family. They're just
they're
things
accessories,
that they
like
own.
A purse or a pair of shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, something to talk about with the other Stepford wives in your little milquetoast community. And you think you're so woke and everybody's so proud of you and so happy for you and your children. They're liars. They're not happy. They're talking trash behind your back. Just like we're talking now. Don't think her friends aren't saying the same things. They're not friends at all. You
know,
if you start saying to them,
because they can get each other gigs, that's all.
Yeah, so this is going to bring them publicity. But one of them asked one of those kids, well, are you a boy or a girl? And the kid said, I don't know. Mommy knows.
Yeah.
That's sad. And, you know, when you have a new baby.
That's going to let one of their elementary school teachers will take control over the kid and not the mom.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say that. You have a new baby and you ask if it's a boy or a girl. They say, I don't know. We'll let the kindergarten teacher tell us. Get out of here. Really, makes sense. Get out of here with that. That's crazy. It's just, you know, it's messed up. I was right the first time. I get so passionate about it, just leave the children alone. You know, even therapists are encouraging these kids now. And then somebody can get them permanently altered behind your back. I bet you that lady with the four gay kids, she's not going to let anybody make decisions for them behind her back.
No.
She's not going to let them be straight behind her back, is she? She ain't going to like it. If those kids go to school and they make them wear straight clothes and act in a straight manner, then she'll have a problem with it, right? So that's a problem.
I just hate to think, Joanne, that the counterculture is going to be boys and girls secretly being boys and girls behind their parents' backs.
Really? That's, you know, some of them are going to have to.
I just thought of that right now. I don't know why I didn't put two and two together, but that's
what's
going to happen.
Yeah, it's a double-edged knife. You know, those ones that are pushing the kids into it, and those ones that are, you know, pushing the kids away from it. The kid's going to be what the kid's going to be. Even if it has to do it in secret behind the kid, their parents' back. But not with other adults doing that behind the parents' back. Any adult that tells your child to keep a secret from its parents is not a safe person. And you have to tell your parents that this person wanted you to keep a secret. You got to teach those kids, somebody wants you to keep a secret from me, they're not a safe person. I don't care how cool they tell you it is. I don't know what the world's come to, Proof. But whatever it is, we got to fix it. This is just crazy. This is how democracies fall, too. You can't talk in front of each other. You don't even know what your own gender is. You don't know what gender your children are. You can't read or write or do math.
And your enemy is
really
the person that thinks differently than you.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, you're right. You got to hate persons that think differently than you. But if everybody's thinking like that, nobody's thinking. They're just going along with it. They don't want to make waves. Some might even actually believe it, but most don't. Most of those people going along with it don't believe it. They're either being pressured into it or want to be accepted. Oh, I just don't want to make any waves, so they go along to get along. And they're deceiving themselves. You know, and most of the time, you can tell. And those people are talking behind their backs. They're not their friends. You know, I know a couple of trans people, one who I love very much. And they waited until they were an adult. And then they went through a lot of therapy and a lot of visits and, you know, a lot of waiting. But they made that decision themselves. Nobody made the decision. Nobody lopped off any parts on them. And I think this person is grateful for that. And now they're living happily in their new life. In another place away from where they grew up, of course. But they got all kinds of friends and they're just living the life. So that was a success story in that case. But there's so many other not success stories. And it's a very rare thing. It's not like 30-40% of the population is gay or trans. They're not. It's a very small percentage of the population, and I don't see why it has to be shoved on everybody. Accepting somebody is fine. But forcing their lifestyle on everyone else is not. You know, just like you can't force somebody into being straight, you can't force them into being gay either. And you can't call them bigots if they don't want to.
That's why the counterculture is going to come back, though, because they say that we're the ones forcing all of this. But you can't tell somebody who to like and who not to like. And that always comes back to bite. Always.
Sure it does. Yeah, because then nobody's happy. But, you know, everybody just should live and let live. You know, be who you're going to be. Don't impose it on other people. Just like you don't want them imposing on you, don't impose it on other people. You know, children are going to find their way, whether the teacher tells them to or not. The teacher should stay out of it. The teacher is with the child 10 months of its life, forever. So stay out of it. Stay in your lane. That's not your job. And I don't care what agency, what alphabet, National Education Society. We don't even have federal teachers. What are they doing in education anyhow? They're not doing anybody any favors. We don't need a Department of Education. That's a state job. Teachers work for the state and the local communities. They don't work for the federal government. But how come this is being imposed on all these teachers? Where do they get this authority? We don't even have federal teachers. You know, everybody's asking the wrong questions here.
What do the unions do, Joanne? What do the unions do to ram this down their union members' throats? And it doesn't matter what the union is. Most unions are strictly Democrat.
Unions, just like anything else, have morphed into a totalitarian, too much power syndicate. They used to be, you know, for the good of their workers. You know, everybody does remember that they fought for the 8-hour workday, and they forgot, you know, they fought for overtime, and they fought for work safety programs and stuff. But then they started collecting money and realizing how much money was in it. And then the bosses started skimming money and realizing how much more money it was. And then they learned how to make it mandate that people had to join a union. They have forced union states, whole states. Whether you are in a union job or you're not, you still got to pay union dues in places like New York and Maryland and, you know, a lot of other states that force union. Florida is a right-to-work state. They don't force union on you, although there is unions here. They're not as powerful as, like, the SEIU and the AFL-CIO and that type of stuff. But those people now, they have become like anything else. They had too much power, and then they wanted more and more and more and more. And now they got so much power that they can keep schools down in a whole country closed because the teachers don't want to go back to work because they might catch a cold. And now, you know, they're going along with all this woke stuff because of the money. There's money in it. You always have to follow the money because somebody's making money off it. Find out who's making money off of it, and you'll see that's where the problem lies. But you see all these banks, they control these businesses because businesses have to go to the bank to get financing for their businesses. You know, they're always taking out loans and credit cards and lines of credit and things like that at banks. So the World Economic Forum tells the banks, okay, you've got to force these ESG stuff on these companies. I don't think Budweiser really wanted to take a dive, but they had to. The business was sold. They needed funding, and the bank said, yeah, we'll give you funding as long as you do this and this and this. Same with Target. Remember they were going out of business, and they had to restructure? Well, now through the banks, they're being told, you know, you got to sell size 4 to 6X little girls' bathing suit with tucky pockets for little boys to tuck their junk. No. And you can't go to a different bank because they're all intertwined. And they're all being strong-armed, too. We didn't elect Klaus Schwab, or whatever his name is, or any of them, you know. But that's where we're at. So I don't care if their dollar devalues. You take away their money, you take away their power. If their money is no good, they have no more power over you. Look at that hotel chain in San Francisco that's just walking away. Let the bank have it. What's the bank going to do with it? They can't run a hotel.
The mall did the same thing. The largest mall in San Francisco just gave their keys back.
There you go. Take it. So that devalues that property. It devalues the bank's money. The bank loses a whole bunch of money on that. And look at all those empty office buildings in San Francisco. I'm just using San Francisco as an example. There's empty office space everywhere, every big city, New York, San Francisco, Baltimore, Chicago. No one wants to rent an office in downtown Chicago or downtown San Francisco. So all that real estate that was high-value real estate might as well be Detroit.
Yeah, but if you look at it, though, eventually you clear out enough businesses and you can sell that land to the Chinese.
That's probably what's happening. Or you'll sell it to Bill Gates and he'll just come through there with a wrecking ball, not put anything there. Or they'll put up high-rise condos, like moving on up.
Yeah.
It's bad. But you're going to see commercial real estate takes such a hit, and it's coming fast. If you own commercial real estate right now, if you can unload it, do it. There's no one's going to want to rent. Nobody wants to go to these city clusters anymore where they have to trip over people doing drugs in the street and feces and, you know, all the looting and the robbing and the arsons and the just the whole decline. No one wants to, you know, you're not going to go and visit your lawyer there. You're not going to do your banking there. You're not going to do your shopping there. So you might as well just give the keys back. Here you go. You know, I'm in default. I'm not paying the loan. So it has to happen. These banks have way too much power. So if their money is useless, they lose their power. There'll still be banks. You know, the big ones will survive, but they're going to have to put huge restrictions on things.
Joanne, if I could jump in here, I just don't understand why people still use the major banks, because I'm happy with having a credit union.
Yeah, the credit union is the way to go. You know, the local, like regional banks and stuff, soon, you know, these big banks are going to try to swallow them up, but they take less risk in those banks, the credit union and stuff. And they have they're more selective about their clientele. And they're not trying to go woke. They're just trying to stay afloat. There's money in banking. But you got to do it right, and you can't get, you know, sucked in by these big companies. Bank of America is not even an American bank.
No.
It's a Saudi bank.
Neither is HSBC.
Nope. You're right. State Street, they're still one of the biggest players. They got a lot of subsidiaries. But they've gone woke now, and they own a lot of, they're mostly focused on commercial real estate. So you watch what State Street's doing. There's a big hit coming in that commercial real estate. Real estate on the whole will lose value because of it, but you know, if you're in your home and, you know, you're making your payments and or you own it outright, you're way better off. If you can find a way to pay it off, do it. You know, because otherwise it'll get bundled into a takeover.
Yeah, it'll be what we had in 2009 all over again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
except
but it's going to be
worse.
On a bigger scale. It's going to be on a bigger scale because of the commercial real estate in the cities. People are leaving those cities in droves. And with the work-from-home programs in most of those offices, they don't even need real estate anymore. All they need is internet. And they can have their whole company working from their own houses. That's one thing COVID taught them. It's
no secret. I work a day job because Freedomizer doesn't pay my bills. So I work at home.
Yeah. So your company really doesn't need anything more than a single office. They don't need to take up a whole floor of a tower in one of those high-rises. You know, they can do it from a storefront.
Yeah.
And but that's the one thing that COVID did teach them that's coming back to bite them. Schools, too. You know, they don't want to do the Zoom learning, but teachers have found out they're not as necessary as they absolutely needed to be, so they thought. You know, you can have a classroom with 5,000 children in it now. You can do that over the Internet. You need one teacher for that. So, you know, this is backfiring. There's always consequence. But, you know, all these people who thought it was cool, oh, yeah, I'm from the union, and we're going to stay out of work, and we're going to keep the schools closed. Yeah, well, you just priced yourself out, kiddo. They don't need as many teachers now.
And
you've got old universities.
And not just that, but if the agenda, and that's exactly what it is for the schools, it's agendas for a lot of these areas. Nobody wants the agenda.
Right. You know, you're better off keeping your kid out of school. Less chance of them getting stabbed or molested or, you know, getting drugs pushed on them or whatever else happens in those buildings.
Yeah.
You know, kids can socialize in sports. Homeschoolers have rights to involve in team sports, too. So the kid can still play football. And the kid can still, you know, be on the swim team.
But on the lower levels, though, people say, well, I want my kids to be active with other kids, but that's what karate and gymnastics and all that is for.
Yes, exactly. You know, not all these programs are in school. And when they're in school, they're not supposed to be socializing much. You know, they're in a group of their peers, and they do socialize. But they can socialize after school, too. Couple of hours
and,
in the daytime.
Joanne, this isn't part of this isn't part of what we grew up with, but it's very valid. There are Pokemon card stores that have Pokemon trade nights, and then they can go trade Pokemon and play Pokemon against other kids in the area. So you could you could take that almost like a class.
And that would be a money-making enterprise too. You know, all these abandoned malls, turn them into complete arcades and study halls and, you know, put a roller skating rink in there or a gym in there or basketball courts and stuff and just make a fortune in a place like that, having events, you know, and hosting basketball games and tournaments and, you know, all these kids would be active and have good security and have wholesome entertainment, have it in a whole, like, place. You know, you can have the waterworks theaters and you can have the all the fun things the kids like to do.
Hey, and don't discount this, but kids will still play chess if you put a chessboard out there and have championships and stuff. People will still play. And don't ever discount things like Pac-Man too, because I'm not saying some of the shoot 'em up games, because I can't verify that, but a lot of the games that we grew up with for video games, there's strategies involved, and you have to think a couple of moves ahead or you're done. You actually have to plan ahead when playing Pac-Man, because you could take one of the magic pills, but you have to know that you can only go a certain direction, because once the ghosts are blinking, you can't go after them as aggressively. So you have to kind of plan your strategies.
Right. And that teaches children to think in steps ahead.
Yes.
They are. You know, it could be quite an enterprise.
Do you ever go to Cracker Barrel or Friendly's?
Yes.
I don't know if there's still Friendly's in Orlando. I remember stopping there when I whenever I go to Florida.
Mm-hmm. The last friendlies I saw was in Connecticut.
Okay. Well, there was one on International Drive back in 2018 when I was there last.
Mm-hmm.
So Cracker Barrel and Friendlies, and there are others, but they have the I had the game as a kid, and I still have it from when I was 10 years old. It's called Hi-Q. That's the peg
mm-hmm.
game.
Oh, okay.
Do you know the peg game?
Yeah, I do. That's pretty good.
I could sit there and play that for hours just to see if I can get three pegs or less in. Just things like that. It's just strategies, and it might not look like much, but you're thinking steps ahead, so it teaches you to think about consequences for your actions, good or bad.
Right. Yeah, but those are the type of things children need. Instead of, worrying about tucking their junk in their bathing suit, how about you teach them how to critical think? That will help them
right.
a lot more in their adulthood and their career choices. That will give them career choices.
And I don't even, to be honest,
their choices
this
are
doesn't
very
even
limited
bother
if
me.
Their education is limited.
There are videos on YouTube where you get 17-year-olds that have never heard of Vanilla Ice before, so they'll pick a song that was popular in the 70s, 80s, or 90s and play it, and they'll do a reaction video. So I'm okay with kids doing that because you're reviewing and you have to present yourself in a manner that will attract attention of others. So you're teaching how to public speak.
Yes. Even mixing music. They have to know the electronics and things like that and timing and rhythm and, there's lots of things the children need that they're not getting. But
I wish I learned that when I was a kid, Joanne, because I only got into making music when I was 35.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these kids can mix music and put together really good sounds. And it takes talent. It takes time, and it takes dedication, too. It just doesn't land in their lap.
My music career would have been a little different if I would have learned some of this when I was younger.
Yeah. Yeah, but those are the extracurricular things you can teach these children. But you
right.
teach them how to survive. You teach them how to work. You teach them, you're not doing them any favor by pampering them and being helicopter parents. You're not doing any favors at all. Look at those kids that just survived in the Colombian forest. There was a plane crash, and the mother got killed in the crash. The four children were the only survivors, a 13-year-old girl, a 9-year-old boy, a 4-year-old, and an 11-month-old. And that girl, and I'm sure the brother helped, but the 13-year-old kept those kids alive for 40 days in that jungle because she knew survival skills. Because the family used to play survival games, and they had survival trivia. That's what they did on game night. They played, survival trivia and then made campfires and, read stories about the different berries and the different plants. And there's this book called Mark of the Beaver, and it has a lot of survival skills in it. The story is absolutely wonderful, but it teaches the kids, to mark their path, and it teaches them how to notice things. It teaches them, you watch what the animals eat. If the animals won't eat it, you shouldn't either. But you can eat what the animals eat. And, through that type of stuff, that those kids survived. But those are the type of things the kids need to learn, too. You got to take them camping, and you got to take them swimming, and you got to teach them, what poison ivy is and what the difference between good mushrooms and bad mushrooms. In your path, and you teach them how to watch the animals. Because, like I said, someday there'll be an EMP. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but, you should, if you want your children to survive one of those, they better learn how to do that stuff. So, you know, and you better teach them how to stock up, too. They're going to have a rice shortage if John Kerry has his way. Rice can last a very long time.
Well, there he's talking about banning all gardens in the United States, and you would have to you would have to register anything you grow has to be registered with the USDA, and they can decline you from even putting a rose bush in your front yard.
Yeah, well, they don't own the property; you do. This is the United States of America. Don't register your garden any more than you'd register your guns. You want everybody to know how much food you have. They're trying to starve 90% of the population using climate change as the ruse to get everybody to cooperate because everybody wants a healthy climate, right? Well, I'll tell you what, pick up your rubbish. Have every day be Earth Day. You know, learn to minimalize some stuff. Cut back a little bit. You don't have to cut off everything, but cut back a little bit. Keep your area clean. If you see rubbish in the street, pick it up. You know, litter is one of the worst things. Don't be filthy. Live clean. There's lots of ways you can help with the planet. Cow farts aren't doing it.
Hmm.
You know, maybe the processing plants and all the stuff that's being, you know, emitted from those places. But it used to be you'd take a cow to the butcher would cut it into cuts for you, and you'd wrap it and freeze it and live off it. They didn't make too many emissions. And now you got big processing plants, and they have smokestacks and incinerators and all that stuff. But the scraps fed the animals at the butcher shop. You know, those scraps went into dog food and they went into pig slop and that type of stuff. When I worked at the college, all food products, like, you know, if we had leftovers on the line, they would all go into the barrels and the pig man would come and take them. And he'd wash out the barrels and leave the empty barrels there. And then after the meals, we'd scrape the plates. There would be no tin foil or, you know, silverware or anything in it. It was just strictly food product.
Right.
All paper products and other things went in different containers. But those pig buckets were filled. So we didn't waste anything. And that's good for the environment. You know, if you smoke cigarettes, put the cigarette out when you're done. Put the butt back in your cigarette pack or in a container and throw it away when you get to a place. Don't leave it on the ground. That one cigarette butt.
I don't know why people think that's not littering for some reason.
I can't stand littering. I get really upset when I see people litter or if I see litter in the streets. I live in Florida. We don't live like that here. We will bend down and pick up a soda can or a paper that's blown around. And, you know, that's all you got to do. Just live clean. And if you see somebody else throwing papers out the window or a diaper in the parking lot, tell them there's a barrel over there. Or, you know, leave a bag in your car so you can leave it in your car until you get to a place. Don't throw it out in the parking lot. That's disgusting. People really do that. I picked up a diaper the other day. My daughter had gloves in the car, and didn't she put the glove on? Because she has dogs, so she, when she walks them, she cleans up after them. And she picked up that diaper with a glove and brought it to a barrel. But the diaper in the parking lot, from where the diaper was, it was probably about 30 steps to a barrel. That was also in the parking lot. But they couldn't, you know, just walk across the area for the two cars distance. But they'll be the first ones that are screaming about the environment, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, the there's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things that we all know we should be doing. There's things that people don't want to talk about because they're afraid other people are going to make fun of them. Humor is, ridicule. It is a very potent weapon, you know, but instead of taking offense to it, turn it around. Feel that power, and you might get used to it. And maybe we can set things straight. Stand up. Start speaking up. We're not going to be able to speak up on media. You know, half of the media didn't even carry Trump's speech last night. They made a big deal about him being indicted, and all the media was there. There were all those vans with the satellites on them, tons of them, just lining the sidewalk. They were there for that, but they wouldn't show his speech afterwards, his side of the story.
Oh, and heaven forbid one of them even mentions something about Brandon.
Oh, yeah. They get shut, you know, they just shut off and stop recording. But they're all snarky. Like Jake Tapper on CNN, he said that they weren't covering Trump's speech. He says, we're not carrying his remarks live because, frankly, he says a lot of things that are not true and sometimes potentially dangerous. What's so dangerous that he had to say? At any time.
He's reporting
he even told
him
on January 6th to be peaceful. Put it in writing on Twitter. That was his last tweet.
So the latest thing, Joanne, and I haven't mentioned it on the show yet, is that they're getting Andrew Weissman to start brand new charges in New Jersey.
I went to see Sidney Powell. You know who she is?
Yeah.
Sorry, she was General Flynn's lawyer. She
yeah.
said that throughout her career, she's had run-ins with Weissman, and he is the worst of the worst. He's the most dirty, underhanded, ruthless of any of them up there. For her to say that, and she wasn't playing, she said that Mueller, you could find him at the bars in the hotels on any given day. And, you know, he was just the name at the top of the letterhead. But she said Andrew Weissman was the worst of the worst of the worst.
Well, but the thing is, though, Joanne, they must not feel confident because they keep putting court dates out.
Yeah. Well, they said they're going to get him, with, you know, using every part of the Constitution to do it with. They vowed to never let him get elected to any office. They're trying to get him from even being able to run for office. Nothing in the Constitution says that if he's sitting in Leavenworth that he can't be president. Of course he can. He can pardon himself and get out of Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone's ever pardoned himself before, but...
Well, let me ask you, Joanne, because it's not a death situation, but arresting in essence, a political prisoner, doesn't that make him a martyr?
Oh, yeah. He made $6.6 million yesterday because it's making him a martyr. The more they try to hurt him, the more he's rising. He gained points on his competitors. He's up to 38 points ahead of DeSantis right now.
I just can't believe all of these people that are listening to the people that they hire to say, we're going against Trump and we want him to be arrested and all this stuff. It's just, to me, that's election suicide, getting him off the ballot,
moved him out of their way, too. That's not just beneficial to the Democrats. That's beneficial to all these candidates running. So they're not gonna cry about Trump. DeSantis hasn't said much about it, but
no.
He got slapped pretty hard last time he was talking trash about Trump. You said about Tim Scott, and I saw what he said. He said that those are very serious accusations. So he's trying to walk the tightrope. You know, you got Never Trumpers, you got the establishment, you got the only Trumpers, and I don't think people really understand Trump supporters. They're loyal. Loyalty is a good quality, and these people are loyal to him. But that's the only loyalty you're going to find up there in D.C., because there is no loyalty among them. And even their own fan base is not loyal to them. They change like the wind, too. You know, people will vote for Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
It's not like they like him or anything. But the way they see it is he's better than the alternative.
Joanne, at this point, what's the difference between all of those people who... I mean, if you just write down on a piece of paper without looking at them, what's the difference between Mike Pence and Tim Scott at this point?
There really isn't. Well, I don't know. Tim Scott hasn't proven himself to be a backstabber. All Pence had to do was postpone the certification. That's all he had to do. All he had to say was, you know, we need an audit because there's some discrepancies. And I'm sorry I have to do this, but we want to make sure that all these numbers are accurate, because I can't put my name on it until it is. And people would have understood.
And if it came back with the Democrats still won, everybody would have been okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. If the numbers turned out to be the same and correct, so be it. But at least they were double-checked. It wouldn't hurt anything. It wasn't going to make anybody win or lose if their numbers were the same. But there were glaring discrepancies that should have been addressed then. But he certified it anyhow. And that's what people are mad at him for. All he had to do was postpone it. It wasn't like he was canceling the election. He was trying to overthrow it, or he's trying to change it. You just want to be accurate. That's all. It never would have been such a big deal. You know, just make sure we're right. That's all. You know, even when you take a test, the teacher corrects the paper. So she knows if you got the answer right or not. And if the answer's not right, you correct it. You know, but if you got 100, so be it. The teacher checked it. You got 100. It was still checked.
But Mike Pence somehow thinks he can ride with being the vice president of Trump, but being against Trump. I just don't understand the concept. At least with Chris Christie, you know what you're getting ahead of time. With Mike Pence, that's just weird.
Yeah. Pence says, during the Trump-Pence administration, we built this much wall, and we had the economy running wonderful, and taxes were down. But Trump sucks. It was the Trump-Pence. Trump was the boss. Trump did all those things. You went along for the ride. But now you're taking credit for Trump's work, and you're telling us Trump was bad, but everything he did was good. Okay. And we don't want you. I mean, if it's going to be Trump's policy, we might as well have Trump. And that goes for all of them. You like what Trump did. You just didn't like Trump. And you want to steal his platform, but you want him out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you can't be Trump. You're not Trump. You're never going to be Trump. And obviously, Trump's policies were right if he's want to all copy it so bad.
The only one that says anything different is Ramaswamy, and I'm also holding out hope for Larry Elder, but that's my top three, and that's it. Now, nobody else means anything to me at this point.
Yeah. Jim Scott, like I said, he's trying to walk a tightrope. He's not getting the correct information. He should be fighting this, because if he really wants to be president, and he knows they're doing all this against the former president, what makes him think they're not going to do it to him, too? Every one of them should be fighting this. Every one of those candidates of any party should be fighting this.
And if they're working so hard to not help, that might hurt Kim Scott with being a vice president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, Trump's already had enough backstabbers. He doesn't need any more.
Right.
And it's not even a question of Trump. It's a question of right and wrong. It's a question of the Constitution, the direction of this country. You know, take Trump out of the equation for a second. Just take his name out of there. And you don't even have to put anybody in. Just say, you know, is this really a good policy? Is this really good for the country? You know, where's it going to lead? Is this going to escalate? Is it going to go to other former presidents? Is it going to go to future presidents? What's going on? You know, if they were so successful in kneecapping Trump, then of course they're going to do this again and again and again and again. And pretty soon no one's going to want the job. No one's going to run for it.
Well,
because
I'll
they're
tell
going to
you
be destroyed
who's looking
when they try
really
it.
Good as vice president, though, because as Tim Scott's stock is falling, just like most of the Republicans, Carrie Lake is positioning herself rather nicely.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She's a fighter. And
yes.
She's loyal. You know, loyalty is a good quality. People expect that in friendships and marriages. Why wouldn't you expect it out of a president? Why wouldn't a president expect it out of his, you know, his staff and his people that are supposed to be on his team? You know, there's a lot to be said for loyalty. Even the mafia demanded loyalty.
Well, I think anybody that's following Trump's steps at this point might have learned a lesson, I hope, with putting people around you that you trust.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't take the same old establishment people. You can't take the word of these people in these agencies like the WHO, the National Health, and all of these agencies, the CIA, the FBI, DHS, none of them. Don't trust any of them. These figureheads in these agencies are just political pawns. They didn't get there by being smart. They got there by being connected. So even in those, you know, federal service jobs, the brothers and cousins and, you know, you hire my aunt and, you know, those aren't all merit-based. And they pull them up in between the ranks. Look at Clapper. He was a kiss-ass his whole career.
Yeah.
He failed upwards. John Brennan, he's one of the most ruthless people on the planet. He's a hitman. This guy, Jack Smith.
Yeah.
The guy who's going against Trump here, the prosecutor who indicted him. He got smacked by the Supreme Court, unanimous decision against him. He was on the integrity team under Eric Holder. He is, he was head of the integrity team in Tennessee. He started his career. He brought that McDonald, the governor of Virginia. He indicted him. He was an investigator. Then he was the prosecutor. And, you know, that's what the Supreme Court smacked him down about. But they made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And then it got thrown out. But that guy McDonald, he didn't get his job back. He didn't get his house back. He didn't get his money back for the lawyers and stuff. The same with General Flynn. You know, where do you go to get your reputation back? You know, he lost his house. He had to come up with a lot of money for lawyers. And the people that charged him get to walk away and say, oh, oops. And, you know, they don't have to think about it again. They did their job. But this guy here, Jack, he's and his wife, too, she did a documentary on Obama's wife, Michelle, and she's a Biden donor. You know, so these people, they hate Trump. This guy Jack hates Trump, and he's a hitman. And they're just staying after him. You know, they're just going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And all these prosecutors, you know, what are they making? What are you getting out of it to sell out your country? You know, they what do they want, a judgeship or something? What are these people getting promised to do this to Trump? This what they went to law school for? This why your mom and dad were so proud on your graduation? This is what you've become? You've sell out your country? You'll get no praise from me. I don't like people like that. You know, there's a thing called integrity. They should try it sometime. But, you know, once you're in that, you're owned. They own you. And there's no getting out. You know, you bankrupt yourself, and then believe me, they'll destroy you. Once you're in.
That's just sad that Bud Light became a verb now, where you're Bud Lighting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad they've fallen. And I saw for the month of May, they were no Budweiser brand was in the top 10 for sales in the United States.
Mm. Oh, good thing McCain's wife sold it, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
But really good timing, huh? Amazing how that timing works. And the new company that bought it.
I'm just waiting for the next company to say that they want to stand up to the guillotine.
But they won't stand up to it because they need the money.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Bud Light went to the guillotine. Target went to the guillotine.
Yep.
Fox News went to the guillotine. Who's next? Mm-hmm. I know North Face did. What company is going to say we'd like to lose?
Nike.
I wish. See, there's three companies that I don't think will ever be woken up. Nike is one,
yep.
And I don't know why people have such a love relationship with Nike, and that goes for a few different levels. But the two major soda companies, Coca-Cola and the other leading brand that I refuse to mention, they cannot be woken up. It doesn't matter how woke they go, people will still buy their garbage.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, because Coke was one of the first to go woke.
Yes. People are that addicted to soda, and they can't find another brand. RC Cola is out there. RC Cola is a decent soda. Why can't you drink them?
Yeah, actually, RC tastes pretty good.
No, I drink Bevia, so I'm drinking
a
cream soda right now.
Yeah. Oh, even the store brand cola. You know, try it. You know, Stop and Shop.
I refuse to give those companies any of my money.
Mm-hmm. And they all belong to some big subsidiary anyhow, some big distributing company.
Yes.
You know,
go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to elaborate a little, but you all get the drift.
Okay. I was going to say, when you got done, it's time for Mr. Broccoli.
All right. Well, did you send me a link?
Yes.
Okay, let me look for it. Okay, I got it. Let me load it up.
This one's called Minding My Own Business. So, if you're ready,
okay,
I'll go ahead.
I'm ready.
All right. So, I'll do the countdown here. 3, 2, 1, action.
What up, green dude? What are you up to today, sir?
I'm minding my own business.
Minding your own business? How long have you been handling said business?
Since before I was born, I have been minding my own business.
Is that so? So then why have you not filled out a taxation form for your business? Now we finally have a reason to bring you into taxation court. Thank you for that, sir.
You know that is just an expression, right? It means I am not bothering anyone.
No need to explain, sir. You just need to pull out said business license so I can confirm it is a legal entity.
There is no business. Do you want me to pull the paperwork out of my ass?
Absolutely, sir. You have made an excellent call, sir. Please do be removing said dumb niggers and place them next to my person so I can search your anal cavity, sir.
I don't believe this is happening.
I believe this is happening. You best have proper tax forms from since the year of your birth or I will be arresting you for tax evasion, green dude. How dare you have a business without telling the government?
Do what?
Wrong, green dude. We need less what, more but. Now let me see some underoos right this instant. We need less what, more but. Have I made myself clear, green dude?
No. That is not going to happen.
That is going to happen. If I did not make myself clear, I can translate to Spanish for you, sir. Or if you prefer, I can say it in Italian with a couple glasses of red wine.
Okay. See you later, wiretap. I have to go to work now.
Is you stupid or something, green dude? I have not released you from my custody yet. Did you forget about providing me a fresh look-see at Sir Bunghole? Just for that I now need to check your ESG and your social credit scores.
I don't care what you do. Just get off my property and leave me alone.
How dare you say those kinds of words to me, green dude? It is not my fault you poorly chose to be a cisgendered white male, sir. You do realize in South Africa people of your kind are being denied food, water, jobs, and places to live simply because they have chosen to be as white? We cannot wait to bring the most pain to peoples of your kind when Brandon wins a second term.
Oh please. That fool can only win if the election is rigged again. No one thinks he runs anything.
Exactly. Your point, sir? We can rig any election we want and arrest any political opponent we choose now, green dude. Brandon, legalize it. Wait until we shut off the banking system and tell everyone they must vote all Democrat or they will no longer have access to food and water resources. And if you don't send something that goes vote Republican, we will take it to a FEMA camp. Even though we all know FEMA camps absolutely do not exist and never will exist. If you think a FEMA camp exists, we will round you up and take you to the FEMA camp.
Everyone already knows that Brandon did not get 81 million votes by now. He will definitely not get 100 million votes this time.
I disagree, sir. We are going to work hard to get Michael Robinson or Obama on as a vice president, sir. No one can resist the temptation of Michael Robinson or Obama. Michael Robinson or Obama is a very nice lady. Whomever is laughing at that, we are going to round you all up and bring you to that FEMA camp. That absolutely positively will never ever exist. Now we need to get your vaccine passports and for the love of Noah Harry, you need to get that bloody scam on your face.
No. Absolutely. No means no.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes means yes. Now produce said dungarees, underoos, and blouse next to my person right this instant and fetch me your vaccine passport post haste. Otherwise I will be forced to take you in my 1993 Geo Metro over to G. Lobalist Lair. From there you can be treated like Jeffrey Epstein, who by the way everyone knows killed himself before he could dish any dirt on Bill Gates and the Clinton crime syndicate.
No way. Everyone in the United States knows by now that those gene therapies are very deadly. I have no interest.
Sir, it matters not if you are interested. Without a QR code on your mobile phone or a Lysnica Freedom microchip on your person, you are not permitted to leave your residence. You are not allowed food, water, employment, or even fresh air. In fact, sir, the only place you are allowed to visit is the FEMA camp. That we have already proven does not exist.
Wiretap. You can kiss my ass.
I thought you would never ask. Bring that kadunka dunk dunk right here post haste, sir. Woohoo.
You can never influence me with your propaganda. Now, get off my lawn. Mr. Wiretap.
How dare you misgender me, sir. Just for that unnecessary outburst I now have to place you under arrest. Misgendering another human carries a 5 to 7 year prison sentence in this state. Good thing we are so loving and liberal here. Now, put those hands up right this instant, drop those dungarees, and why have you still not even attempted to put the bloody scam on that face?
Good luck with that wiretap.
What would you do if my heart was torn in two? More than words to show you feel that your love for me is real? What would you say if I took those words away? Then you couldn't make things new. Just by saying I love you. Let's go green, dude. We are finna indict you on more charges than we are doing with President Trump.
Anyway, let me finish this business with the wiretap. Please check out real news and not the fake stuff that fake news fakes. Listen to Proof Negative. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He is on freedomizerradio.com. He has on excellent co-hosts, great guests, and all the news you need to educate yourself with to fight against the globalists. Don't miss out. freedomizerradio.com.
So now you are saying you have another side business? You just keep stepping in it. Now I need says to inspect your kumquats and your ice cream cone right this very moment. You could be hiding a mobile phone in a assault rifle, or a taxation form inside your junk. Now please do be peeling off those layers of clothing and do be treating me to a selfie with your junk.
I hope that was all right.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that one.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, just pointing out the irony. That was good. FEMA camps that don't exist. We'll put more charges on you than Trump. Yeah. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, truth and humor.
Well,
that was good. I like the live audience, too.
Yeah, I don't do that every time, but I think some of that is pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I like your broccoli, man.
No, I try.
Well, you do a good job on them. I like them. So what else you want to talk about? You know they indicted that Marine, Daniel Penny, up in New York, the one
that
accidentally killed the guy that was going crazy on the train. Said he was just holding him until the cops got there. He didn't really mean to kill him. And it was self-defense. He was defending himself and those around him. You know, so it was an accident that happened in a self-defense event. And, you know, I don't want to blame the dead guy, but on the other hand, I don't think that the grand jury should have indicted that guy either. It was a terrible, terrible, tragic accident that the victim participated in himself. So
I just want to understand why, if it came to it that the guy that died killed the Marine, then that guy would be sitting home on the couch right now.
Yeah, he would have had no bail, and they would have found a reason. But there were two other people holding the guy as well as the Marine, and there's a lot of witnesses that were on that train calling this guy Penny a hero. You know, one woman, she was 70-something years old, she was terrified. It was her that the guy was screaming at, the dead guy.
Yeah.
And she was saying that she was glad Penny stepped up. She was terrified. And why, I mean, you don't have any obligation to be somebody's victim. I don't care what train you're riding on. You know, you don't give up your rights, your human rights, because you got on public transportation. You do not have to be obligated to be someone's victim. Fight back. You know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
If you fight back, then that's wrong.
Yeah, well, it used to be the right thing to do. You know, but now you've got
to
sit there, you've got to sit there and take this.
You're not supposed to fight back.
You know, somebody's screaming in your face, they want to kill you. You know, the guy's lawyer said, well, you should have asked him, what can I do to help you? So now you're gonna punk the guy, too? That's just going to enrage him even more.
Or you're supposed to just tell him you love him.
Yeah, you're going to tell him you love him. Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, that might upset him, too. The guy was crazy. The guy did this a lot. He punched out some old lady and broke her eye socket. And it was probably about to happen again. Because they didn't stop him the first 44 times that he arrested him for the similar assaults and threats and just mayhem. You know, he tried to kidnap a little girl, a 9-year-old. They had to wrestle the little girl away from him. That little 9-year-old, he was dragging her down the street to New York.
Well, why is it in that case the police say my hands are tied, there's nothing I could do?
I know. Because the mayor is their boss. And the legislature, the city council and all of them, they make these laws and these rules. And the governors make the rules. But the police work for their boss. You know, if you're blaming the police, really, you are aiming low. Everybody who's got a boss, so find the big boss. It's his responsibility or her responsibility. But like-minded people have got to start stepping up for themselves, start standing up for yourself. What kind of world are you leaving these children? Everybody's saying, oh, it's about the children, about the children. It's all about the children, every bit of it. Look at these American children. What are you going to do for them? And what are you going to tell them when they're living in a totalitarian country, which we're very close, when they're afraid to speak up or to speak honestly? They have to be liars to get along. They can't tell their true feelings. So we're putting a lot of pressure on these kids. But, you know, everybody always says, oh, it's for the children. Well, saving this country is for the children. There is no other country to go to. What, are you going to put them on one of Elon Musk's rockets and send them off to another galaxy? Because we burnt this one out? We got
to
wise up.
And we didn't have to. We didn't have to do this.
No. We're doing it voluntarily. We're self-censoring. We're taking this baloney. We're allowing ourselves to be divided. All those people out there who think they're alone in their thoughts, they don't know that they're the majority, that other people are thinking the same thing they're thinking, but they're too afraid to say it. If you bring the subject up, if you start talking the talk and walking the walk, other people will join you and say, hey, I was thinking that same thing, but I was afraid to speak up. Make it safe to speak up. You know, that's what our founders tried to do. They tried to make it safe to speak up. They lived through all of this, too. I learned a lot from those Cuban Americans yesterday, too. They're screaming the warnings. All the bells, alarms, and whistles are going off. And we still have people who want to be politically correct. There's nothing correct about it. It's incorrect. Up is down, down is up. In is out and right is wrong. You know, we got to turn this back around. You can all see the truth.
White House that believes that at the White House you changed the flag position so the gay flag is over the other flags.
Yeah, they had the American flags flanking the gay trans flag. No, the American flag's supposed to be in the prominent position. And any flag flying near them is supposed to be below them, not beside them. But Biden just announced to the world that we're a gay country.
You know, it just gets me. It doesn't matter how low Biden
goes. We're not a straight country either. We're a blended country.
Yes. But it doesn't matter where Brandon goes on this. Because 45 to 50% of the public that is going to vote will most likely consider voting for Brandon still.
Why? What has he done to lose the country? Where have they benefited at all from his presidency?
He's a Democrat, so therefore he gets the votes automatically. That's why.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Only because he has a D after his name.
I don't know. But it's getting really difficult. It's getting difficult to make sense out of any of it. But, you know, people know the truth. Maybe they're afraid to say it, but they all know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can deny it all they want. But deep in their heart, they're only denying it to themselves. You can all see it. We're no better. You know, Biden sold out our energy industry, put a stop to it. No more drilling, no more permits, no more refining, no more mining. So we didn't stop using oil or coal or lithium, cobalt, and all the things you have to mine. No, we're just getting it from other people who are making money off it. But the people that are making money off of it are the ones giving Biden millions. You know, if you shut off an American energy company, but you're working for a Ukrainian energy company, and you're making all kinds of money for the Ukrainian company because you shut your own off, he's getting a piece of that. That's what the Biden's product is. They sold influence. They sold policy. They put foreign energy companies on top and us out of business. And they were paid handsomely for it. That's a sellout. You know, all these pundits are saying, well, what did the Biden sell? What was their product? They didn't manufacture anything. You know, didn't know anything about energy and couldn't speak Ukrainian. But he's getting $70,000 a month. Why? And now the Ukrainian oligarch says he's got 17 tapes.
Yes.
Imagine that. So the Bidens weren't that slick after all, were they? Of course, the kid wasn't that smart anyhow. You know, he has tapes of his own, incriminating tapes of his own. And, you know, we haven't even seen part of what's on that laptop. I heard there's some really disgusting stuff in there.
Yeah, I've heard people say that the worst stuff hasn't even been shown.
Yeah, it may never be shown. It's that, you know, who's going to show it?
Hey, there's another person today that decided they're running for president.
Who?
The mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez.
Suarez. Yeah, he's the Democrat I was telling you about. Miami's a blue city. He's not going to make it.
I don't expect him to.
No. Well, he'd have to be running as a Democrat.
Oh, he's running as a Republican.
Oh. More games. He's got a better chance of getting struck by lightning in a cave. That's going
to I don't know a thing about him, but he's still better than Mike Pence.
It's a possibility. I had high hopes for Tim Scott. But he's getting bad advice. I think Vivek might make a really good vice president.
Yeah, the more I hear him, the
more...
Well,
Larry Elder, he's been loyal, too. But...
Yes.
I don't know. I think I trust Vivek a little more than Elder.
But you know me. I've said this a bunch. I just want to see Biden or Kamala or Gruesome or someone tell Larry Elder to his face that he's a white supremacist. I just want to see that. And I want to see the reaction from the crowd.
Yeah, well, they already tried it with Tim Scott. He had to go on the View. And then Joy Behar didn't even show up for it.
Yeah. Because he's such a big white
supremacist. She was the one that said he had no idea
and
he just doesn't get it, being black in America. She'd never been black anywhere except one Halloween night when she was in blackface.
Yes, but even Whoopi Goldberg had to tell the audience to stop booing him.
Yeah, because they, you know, they do what the TV told them to, and all this time they've been telling that audience to boo that white supremacist Tim Scott, the black guy, and he doesn't get it. Isn't that what they said the week before? So this audience,
yeah,
you know, that watches them regularly, or they wouldn't even bother going to the show, they thought that they were expected to boo him. And then when they didn't, Whoopi confused them. They can say all those terrible things about him, but the audience can't boo him. Even that separates them from their audience. It's okay for them to talk trash, but the audience can't join in?
No.
So that doesn't make much sense, does it? That audience was confused. It's all right. They're washed-up has-beens anyhow. All they are is snark. The most miserable people on TV are named Whoopi, Joy, and Sonny. Talk about a contradiction.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Whoopi has no Whoopi in her. Joy has no Joy in her. And Sonny's not a burst of sunshine, not even a little bit. Well... Man, I don't know. I don't want to bore people with all this talk, but, it, you know, we got to talk about it. You can't just let it go. You know, and they're all flipping out because there was no handcuffs for Trump. He was released on his own recognizance, so he didn't have to pay bond. He has no restrictions for travel or anything else other than he can't talk about the case with other people involved in the case. He's got this valet who's with him all the time, you know, presses his suits. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like his boy Friday. And they question that kid. And they question the kid's lawyer. And they threaten to put him in jail because he didn't know anything bad to say about Trump. But now Trump can't talk to him about the case. He can still talk to him, but not about the case. He didn't have to surrender his passport. He can travel out of the country. The only gag order, you know, is what I just said. He can't talk to other people and things. He can talk about the case, though. He did last night. You know, all these media were waiting for that mugshot. They've been dying to get a mugshot of him. Well, there was no mugshot. And there was no media inside the court. They said that that was because they didn't want to give away the security. That's baloney. There shouldn't be any media in the court. That would turn into a media circus. You know, because those people can't control themselves. They'd be groaning and poo-hooing and, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. They all get thrown out.
Or showing their nipples like they did at the White House lawn.
Yeah. Right?
I don't understand that.
I don't understand it either. I don't know what that was about. You know, I don't understand a lot of this. When you know the destruction of the country and the culture of the country is what they're destroying, then you can see clearly that that's a piece of it. But I just don't understand what the point of it was. You know, all these people, they're talking about drag queens in schools. You know, don't worry about the kids seeing the drag queen. Why does the drag queen want an audience of children? You know, isn't that adult entertainment? Why are you pushing it on the kids?
And you might have heard me say this before, and I've said this a lot. Nudity doesn't bother me. And if you want to fight for rights or whatever, I get it, and go do things the right way. Go help make social change. But the way to do that is not on the White House lawn and say, here I am, and expect you to be treated like you're an average person. Like today, we're going to go from 0 to 100. You don't win like that. You don't win by making a spectacle of yourself.
No. And, you know, other people count too. You know, you want to live your life, you want to be a nudist, go ahead, but you don't have to expose everybody else to it. Expose yourself to other nudists, but not children.
So, but even so, if you want to organize a protest for said nudity and you want to hit a beach or a park or you want to have a parade that's not of the furries and just have a legitimate, this is who we are and we're normal people that don't believe in having sex in the streets and things.
That would be great. You know, I would go to a gay pride parade where it's just a bunch of normal people doing normal things. And, you know, that way it's not a spectacle. It's not a circus. You know, we're normal people. We just want to fit in. We want to be accepted.
Right.
That would be perfect. You know, like any other parade. Yeah, floats and stuff, but you don't have to go full crazy.
Yeah, the White House lawn is not the place to do that while Brandon's doing some speaking engagement there.
Yeah, and if you want to, you know, be accepted and you normalize things, then do normal things.
But we're not woke enough, I guess. I don't know anything about building a community for rights. I mean, I run a nonprofit with 130-something thousand people on Facebook, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, spreading your legs and simulating sex in front of children in a parade, that's not how most parades are. Most parades, you know, you get fancy cars and floats and balloons and, you know, you can have costumes. Of course you can have costumes, and but, you
I
know,
don't
it ain't all about showing off your private.
I don't understand why spreading your legs and showing what's between them to four-year-old kids. I don't understand how that's part of the LGBT community. I don't get it.
It's not. See, that's what it is. The normal LGBT community are appalled at all of this. They don't
right.
want that type of negativity and attention. They just want to live their life like everybody else. You know, that was the thing. They want equality. They want to fit in.
Yeah, they fought for the right to have a legal marriage, and they earned that right, and they
yes.
worked hard for it. But
yes,
then you have the it went from LGB, and then once you put the T in there, T, to me, the letter T stands for Trojan horse.
Yeah, well, I heard it put quite nicely. I saw a thing go by me, and it said, homosexuality is not an agenda. It's a life. But LGBTQ and all the other alphabet letters they use, that's an agenda. And like we were just talking about, you know, the gays that fought for that, for equality in marriage and all of that, you know, they did work for. And it didn't affect anybody except the person they were marrying.
Right.
The rest of us, it didn't affect us at all. But this, when you're involving the children and you're forcing it down all of society's throats, and if you tell somebody you're a straight white male, now it's like you broke the law and you're going to the FEMA camp that doesn't exist.
There are people that legitimately want to ban heterosexual marriage.
The heterophobes.
Yeah. I just don't understand why we're in a society now that they feel as though they have to tell people who can and can't be married.
Well, actually, the government should be in the business of marrying people anyhow.
Oh, I realize
they
that.
They only got
in
the business
of
marrying
time,
people because the church
not,
is...
I'm very happily married, and I'm not looking for any change, and I'll be damned if I'm going to listen to someone that doesn't know what it's like to be married.
You're right. But the reason that the government got involved in marriage at all was because churches were refusing to marry certain people. So they sided with civil unions, and they let the
mm-hmm.
justice of the pieces provide, you know, for the civil union. And it was only for the purpose of record keeping for the census. Now it's morphed into like a whole social thing. And, you know, I think that the gay marriage thing was the right decision because, you know, that it... with the government's taken over and it's equal rights, then that is equal rights, isn't it?
But I think what happened here, and this is where the community jumps the shark here, is that it's not even the children, really. It is a large part of it, don't get me wrong. But when you go from I don't care who you marry to this is what everybody has to believe in or you're wrong. What
yeah.
makes you different than how standards were like 50, 60, 70 years ago?
Or if you're a straight person and you don't want to date a trans, that doesn't make you a bigot. It makes you
right.
not attracted to that person. That's all. You know, it's not because you're a bigot. Not because you don't like trans or you're afraid of them or you have some sort of phobia. No, it's you are not attracted to them. You know, most people have a type that they're attracted to. And some of them, trans isn't it. Gay isn't it. for some people straight, isn't it? But you're not going to turn a gay person straight, and you're not going to turn a straight person gay. And all of this social calamity, I don't think is going to change that. You're attracted to who you're attracted to. Leave the kids out of it and be left alone. That's all. You got all the equality. There's no such thing as gay rights or black rights or brown rights or white rights. We're all Americans. You have civil rights. You know, showing your business to children is not a civil right. Leave the kids out of it and be left alone. That's it. Do your thing. Have fun. You know, everything doesn't have to be so complicated and so hostile. But when you're involving children, that's where you cross the line. Whether it be lopping off their parts or molesting them or twisting their little minds, you don't want to do any of that. Back off the kids and everybody will be fine. Do your own thing. That's not really difficult. Leave people's kids alone. Don't step in where you don't belong. You know, unless you got a court order and those parents have been declared unfit and you're that child's guardian, don't go near it. Don't talk to them about sex. Don't talk to them about anything that's unapproved by the parents. You're there to teach children math, English, spelling, history, geography, civics, that type of stuff, math. You don't have to shape their culture. That's their own job, it's their own future, and it's their parents' job to guide them. Stay in your lane. You're a teacher. You're with the kid 10 months of its life. Give it skills that it can use for the rest of its life that will help it in its career. It'll help the kid's future. Teaching them all this other stuff isn't helping them do anything, especially when you're doing it at the expense of the other subjects. It's not that difficult. I don't get it, where they think that it's okay to impose their will on people's children.
Well, the globalists have gone unchecked for so long that they're out of the shadows now. They must feel really confident if they can come out of the shadows and just tell us what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. They always tell us. That's the thing, Proof. They always tell us. We just don't know how to listen
to them. Yeah, but the before they used to just say it once or twice and that's it. Now they're just ramming it down our throats.
Yeah, and they don't care. Even if they have court orders to knock it off, they still do it. They don't recognize the court. They don't recognize the Constitution. They don't recognize parental rights, which should, you know, should be recognized. You start messing with people's children, you're going to create a bigger problem than you're ever going to know.
Hey, I just thought of something. I'm going to have to go back on a previous conversation we had earlier.
Sure.
With the Trump indictment, did they give any rules like what Trump can and can't say?
They said that he can't discuss the case with people involved in it.
Okay,
you know, anybody who was a witness
at
the grand jury.
I'm just saying like they told Trump he can't say he's not guilty, or he can't say that he can't say the word Mar-a-Lago, for example. He can't talk about the Clinton sock drawer case. They didn't say any of that?
No, they didn't say that. But they didn't, the prosecutor didn't tell the grand jury about the Clinton sock drawer case.
No,
and
I
they
get
didn't
that.
Let the jury, and didn't let that grand jury know anything about the Presidential Records Act.
So they have to either already know or they're not going to know what
yeah,
it's
they
there.
Either had to already know that, or they were just told that Trump was bad. And he had all these classified documents that he had no business having, and Trump is bad. Orange Man's bad. That's all the grand jury heard. There is no defense attorney. There is nobody was there on behalf of Trump. There was no exculpatory evidence, no informing the jury about the law that would be guiding this. So all the grand jury knew was Trump was bad. He had bad documents in his, he had classified documents. Well, how do these people think? You know, somebody has to have the power to declassify the documents. Not everything is up to the agency. The FBI is not in the Constitution. The CIA is not in the Constitution. The legislators are in the Constitution. The judges are in the Constitution. And the president and vice president are in the Constitution. The chain of...
The IRS isn't one of the three branches of government?
No, the IRS is not a branch of government. The FBI is not a branch. CIA is not a branch. They're just agencies. Now, they can classify information, but a president can declassify it at will, at any time, for any reason. There's no restrictions on the president. He's the ultimate decision maker. He's the CEO of the company. He gets to make the rules, change the rules as far as those documents go. Laws, on the other hand, are made by the legislative branch, and they're signed off by the president. The president has to sign them into law or not sign them. So that presidential act was created by the legislature, voted on by both houses of Congress, and sent to a president's desk, and a president had to sign it. So that's a legal law in this country. But the grand jury didn't know that. They're breaking the law just by indicting him. But he promised he's going to have a commission set up. Said all kinds of things.
So going back to this Miami mayor that thinks he's going to be president, do you think that he's being given anything to help influence?
Probably, or he's assigned to go after someone. It's like they assigned a pit bull to each candidate. Like I said, Christie's going after Trump. He thinks he's Mr. Hyde guy, you know. He's acting like a total thug. But wasn't he Trump's friend, and wasn't he kissing Trump's ass and, you know, looking for all kinds of jobs within the administration? Yeah, he loved Trump then. But now he's all about taking Trump out. He thinks that he has the power. He thinks that people are going to believe him when he's talking trash about Trump. People are just looking at him like he's another cutthroat. You know, he said he was Trump's friend. That isn't how a friend acts. So how are you going to respect this guy? What are you going to, you know, who's going to listen to anything he says? Oh, Trump's bad this, Trump's bad that. We've been hearing that now since Trump came down the escalator. We already know what Trump is. We've made up our own mind. And like I said, whether you despise him or whether you like him, it's not even important anymore. You know in your heart he's the one man that the radicals fear, and the people know that he's the only one that can save this country. So they can have all the shows they want and all the trials they want, and they can... It's only making them stronger. And now they're not even going to show his speeches on TV. They're not even going to let him talk to us. They're doing every single thing they can to keep him from being elected. They'll put him in jail. They'll kill him if they have to. That's what we were so worried about yesterday. We thought he was getting set up. There was 100,000 people there as a wall of security for him. Those people were very vigilant. You know, they were assessing everybody in that crowd. It was really something to behold. I was blown away by being there. You know, I've been to a lot of Trump rallies and stuff. This was different. This wasn't a rally. This was a mission. And everybody there was on it. And I was really elated to see the big show of support from the Cuban-American community and the blacks for Trump. Everybody was there.
Were you surprised, though, that there was no Fed false flag effort?
No. No, I wasn't surprised. In D.C., they can pull that off. But in Florida, if anything happened to him in Florida, do you know how that would look on DeSantis? If they had done that Fed's erection there, DeSantis couldn't let that happen. It was security saturated. There were people in the crowds, walking through the crowds. There was cops on bikes. There was cops in the air. There was wall-to-wall, shoulder-to-shoulder cops around the entrances to those buildings. There was dogs. There was some very big hardware, guns. And I'm sure that there were snipers. We were surrounded by very tall buildings. So there were people in all those buildings. Yeah, it was saturated with security. There was county cops, state police, the Miami police were there. DHS was there, Secret Service was there. I'm sure there were military mixed in, but I couldn't tell really. But yeah, there was the full tactical gear, fully loaded automatic weapons or semi-auto, whatever they were carrying. They were big guns. They had bomb sniffing dogs, all kinds of things there. Of course, it's a federal building too, so there was federal marshals. Yeah, it's a federal courthouse. But they were not going to get anybody to breach that courthouse. There was nobody in the crowd saying, we should go in, we should rush the place, none of that. I don't think those people would have gone in anyhow. They would have said, oh, hell no, we ain't falling for that. There were some very, very, very smart people there. I was blown away by all of it. It was just, there was a lot of people.
You don't think if there was an insurrection there that would have taken DeSantis out?
Oh, yeah. That would have definitely, if he couldn't control that in Florida. That never would have looked good on him.
I think that would have been part of what they would like.
The left would have liked it. Biden would have liked it. But no way in hell DeSantis could have allowed that. He wouldn't have stood a chance. You got to get past the primary first before you could go against Joe Biden. And if anything ever happened to Trump here in Florida, that would have landed right in DeSantis' lap. It would have taken both of them out.
Well, that's what I thought. So I thought that they would want that.
Yeah, well, DeSantis couldn't let that happen. So even if no Fed cops showed up, DeSantis would have still provided security. He would have had to. Because he wouldn't have been able to show his face if something happened to Trump there. Or if he pulled a stunt like Pelosi did by pulling back the cops. And if he had ever done that, everyone in that crowd would have considered themselves Trump security. We did anyhow. But, yeah, DeSantis would have gotten no love if anything happened to Trump in Florida. That would have
So do you feel that it might have been too early to try to take out DeSantis like that?
Yeah, because they need DeSantis to try to take out Trump. So, you know, they got to keep him around a while. But let me tell you something. If DeSantis ever got that nomination, they wouldn't treat him any better than they treat Trump.
Why would they not want to get rid of DeSantis whenever?
Because Trump is powerful. And Trump's got all these supporters. And they're getting more and more loyal by the day. And they're throwing money at Trump more and more by the day. And the more these people hassle him, it's backfiring on them. It's just making Trump stronger. So they have to try to get him out another way. They even considered taking him out like they did Epstein or Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. This country would erupt into a bonfire.
Yeah, but they might want that, though. That's what scares me.
Yeah, but see, they might want it, but they would not be able to control it. And that would make a difference. Remember what happened in Egypt when they threw out the president and then they put in the Muslim Brotherhood and the people realized they had been snookered. They threw the Muslim Brotherhood out themselves. They had two revolutions in Egypt. The first one was pushed by the Muslim Brotherhood. And once the people realized, they pushed the Muslim Brotherhood out and got Assisi, al-Assisi, who's still president there. But it took two revolutions. But they did it without firing a shot, too. They had a general strike over there. All those people just kept coming and coming and coming and camping in Cairo. And they took over the streets, and they did it. They stayed there, and they did it for months until, you know, everybody had to resign because they couldn't run the country. Those people became ungovernable by those people. They did not want the Muslim Brotherhood governing them, and they didn't let them govern them. And that's what we have to do here. We can't let these totalitarians govern us. We have to stand up to them. We have to say no to them. We don't have to be afraid of them. There's more of us. It's 535 people in our government. And you got all these agencies. But, you know, if we all decided that we had enough and we all showed up in D.C., not just a couple of thousand, but millions of us, what are they going to do? Shoot at us? You know, like I was saying last week about these people who are saying about the invasion over the border. Oh, well, I got lots of guns and I got lots of bullets and, you know, I'll defend my country. Who are you going to shoot at? You're going to shoot at unarmed people swimming in a river? You know, holding a little kid over its head? Who are you going to shoot? So you haven't identified the enemy yet. Keep your powder dry. They make no sense. And military.
They're looking for us to powder keg at any moment so they can come in like Captain Save-A-Ho.
Right. But we should do it right. We should all stick together and show up all at once. You know, we don't need guns. What are they going to do, shoot at all of us? They're going to run us over with tanks like Tiananmen Square? You know, they might do that to a couple hundred or a couple thousand. But when you show up with a couple of million and you're standing there unarmed, the military's not going to shoot at you, even if they get an order to shoot you. What, are they going to shoot all of you?
Well, the IRS does have all those weapons.
Yeah. But they got little Dewey Poindexters standing behind them. Got a bunch of pencil pushers with a weapon. Big deal. They'll drop the weapon and run.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trained soldiers. They're trained accountants. They don't even have calluses. You know, they sit in front of a computer all day. Not at a gym. Then you put a gun in the hand, so what? A couple of trained people in good shape could probably take them all out. Even if they have guns. Are they training them? Are they putting them through firearms training? Are they, you know, beefing them up? Are they making them go to, like, boot camp or anything? I don't know. You know, and all these laws they make about guns, they only work on people who obey laws. You make all the laws you want, they're only going to work on people who would obey a law. You know, they're wholly inadequate for criminals. Criminals don't obey the laws we have now. What big, new, cool, super law are they going to make that's going to make a criminal obey it? People don't make sense. You know, when it comes to the gun laws, you know, you start screaming about, oh, you're shooting up a school. How about you pick up those weapons and defend the children? You know, weapons can be used for defense, too. They're not all assault weapons. Some of them are defensive weapons.
So here's something that was just placed on the Gateway Pundit. I'm going to drop this off on your link here. Orange County in California, they're banning pride flags from being flown on county properties.
Oh, Orange County?
Yes.
And why is that? Oh, it's only a 3-2. But
hey, it still counts.
Yeah, it does.
So they're permitting only U.S. government and military-related flags to be flown at county properties, not pride flags.
Yeah, well, that's not a military. It's not anything. You know, you're celebrating someone's sex life. Why do we even care about anyone's sex life? You know, I don't want to hear about someone's sex life. They don't want to hear about mine. That's what you got to say to them.
Nobody wants to hear about mine. They'd be thoroughly bored.
Yeah, but really, you know, when somebody says, hi, I'm gay, you just say, okay, well, now that you told me about your sex life, how about I tell you about mine? And they'll go, ooh.
You told me that
story,
didn't you?
Well, that's how I feel when you're telling me. What?
Were you the one that told me that story where a waiter came up to your table and just he announced himself as gay immediately?
Yeah, I was with one of my kids' friends that they grew up with. And we were just coming back from my sister's funeral, and we went to this restaurant. And the waiter comes up and says, hello, my name is Antoine. I'm gay. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm going to be your server. And I said, oh, well, now that you told me about your sex life, you want to hear about mine. And he just looked at me and he goes, ooh. I said, well, that's how I feel about yours. And then the girl that was with me said, he didn't tell you about his sex life. I said, yes, he did. He just told me he was gay. What do you think that means? And she had to think about it. Now, what do you think gay means? He's telling me who he prefers to sleep with. He's telling me about his sex life. I didn't want to hear about his sex life. I wanted him here for a sandwich. But if he wants to talk about sex life, I want to talk about mine, too.
Yeah, so I don't understand how he could have just told you his husband's name, too. Like, hi, my name's Antoine. I sleep with a guy named James. My pronouns are he, him, and so is my husband's. How can I get you something? What does that have to do with you ordering the chicken parmesan?
It doesn't have anything to do with it. That's what I was trying to say. Well, can you make a sandwich? Because that's what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Bring me a sandwich. I don't care who you're sleeping with. I don't care what your pronouns are. I can just do Antoine. That's fine with me.
But what was
you know,
the
and
that
so automatically sets you up for
what the need is. Just someone to tell you what
misgender somebody.
But I don't walk up to people and say, "Hi, my name is Proof, and I'm straight."
Mm-hmm. Really? So, but when you come back at them like that, it confuses them. And then when you don't give them any attention at all,
mm-hmm.
I noticed yesterday with those Antifas, people just rolled their eyes and like little old ladies just did that little hand wave off and just kept walking. So they didn't get the attention they were so desperately seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And they go away. You know, they act like, oh, this is lame. It's all attention seeking. Everybody has to be special, and everybody has to be so important. Well, I got news for everyone. You're not important. The only people you're important to is the ones who love you. No one else wants to hear about your sex life. No one wants to hear about your views. You know, we got to, as far as politics goes, we have to stick together because politics has gotten way out of control. It's not politics anymore. Now it's just downright dominance. There are people in this world who want to dominate over all of us. There's people in this country who want to dominate from the minute you open your eyes to the minute you go to bed, what you eat, what you wear, what you talk about, what you see on media, even where you work and how much you make. They want to dominate all of that. You know, we pretend we're freedom-loving people here, but so willingly we gave up that freedom during that COVID. Boy, that was an eye-opener for these oppressive, I don't even know what to call them, totalitarians. But that was like being in a candy store for them. All they had to do was say you have to wear a mask. They didn't have to make a law. None of that.
Mm-hmm.
And people complied. And they said, we're going to have to close the schools and you're going to have to close your gym. And they didn't make a law. There was no legislation involved there. There was no bill passed. There was no bill signed into office. None of it is in the Constitution. They didn't even have the right to do that. But we gave it to them willingly. And then we're still fighting to get it back. Now they think they can do it every time that they have an attitude. Biden was talking about bringing back mask mandates again. For what?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, for what? Just because you can? Because you think people are going to comply?
Though and even the CDC says that they don't work anymore after they pimped them for years.
Right. Of course they don't work. If people think about how a mask is made, you wear that cloth thing. A cloth
mm-hmm.
is woven pieces of string of thread. It's a whole bunch of thread all woven together to make a flat piece of cloth. But in between where it's woven, there's holes. Now, viruses are microscopic. They can fit easily through the weave on that cotton mask. You are not going to prevent a virus by wearing a piece of cloth on your face.
That's like saying, Joanne, that if you wear a T-shirt, that's going to stop you from getting a stomachache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you wear a T-shirt, you're not going to get cold.
Yeah.
If it's cold out. Because the cold will go right through the weave, right? So will a virus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like a mosquito going through a chain link fence. Not going to stop it.
No, but it makes them look like they're doing something. That's the important thing. As long as you have the aesthetics, it doesn't matter what the results are.
And then people touch everything around them, and then the mask slips, so they take that hand with all the germs of everything they've just touched, and they put it up against that cloth to adjust it, or to take it down so they can eat and then put it back up. So now all you're wearing on your face is a napkin that you just wiped your hands all over. And all those germs that were on your hands can slip right through that weave like the virus did. And then you get bacteria, and of course you're going to sweat, and you're going to have moisture in there, which will cause mold and mold spores. And then you'll inhale those, and you'll get a bacteria pneumonia or an upper respiratory infection, rashes, you know, because you get a fungus rash on your face from the moisture. And now you've done more damage to yourself. You know, you're better off being outside, being among people. Let your immune system adapt to your environment. Now, all these people that have stayed in their house, they've destroyed their immune system. So as soon as they go out, they're going to get sick because those germs didn't go anywhere. And all the other things, there's bacteria and fungus and virus on you all day, every day. They're in your environment. Your immune system fights these things. And the more you're exposed to them, the more the immune system's going to fight you. So pretty soon you're not going to get sick from it. And this virus, although it was man-made, your immune system will still fight it. But not if you now interrupt your immune system and introduce an mRNA to your DNA. Because humans are DNA. A virus is mRNA. So now you put RNA into your system, you've altered your system. You've altered your DNA. And your body sees it as a foreign substance, and your own immune system is going to fight that RNA. So they had to put something else in there to nullify your immune system, or your immune system would have rejected the RNA. So how did they get your DNA to accept the RNA? They put an immune suppressor in there. You see all these new cases of AIDS? AIDS will suppress your immune system.
Yes.
So when you have no immune system, they can introduce anything and your body's not going to fight it. But it's not going to fight anything else either. So now they have to give you a booster for your immune system. But your immune system is going to fight the mRNA, and that's where you're getting all these blood clots and these fibers and all these heart problems and liver failure and everything, because your body can't be suppressed and fight germs too. You can have one or the other. You can't have both. They tricked a lot of people.
It's just hilarious, though, to me, Joanne, when I still see people in the store, and I don't know how else to explain it. They're wearing their scams, but they don't put it over their nose. It's like either fully commit to being an idiot or don't wear the scam, because if you wear it half-assed, that's worse.
Why don't they just use duct tape over their mouth and call it a day?
I wish I knew.
Right? Just, you know how they show that meme with the X duct tape over the mouth, but the nose is exposed to silence you? Yeah, so you're just silencing yourself.
Well, it's liberal, though.
Yeah, but what you're showing is that you will comply.
Yes.
And when you look around, you say, okay, that's a follower. And you see the one without the mask, that's a leader. And it's just a way to sort us. But it was convenient so we could sort us, too. We know who would comply and who wouldn't. Look at the people they threw out of the military. Those are the ones that didn't comply. So all that's left is those who would comply. The same with the police and the same with the nurses and doctors. They'll all comply, all the compliant ones. Well, no, the ones who didn't comply, they lost those jobs. but they were free thinking. Now you're seeing pilots dropping dead in the sky because of the pressure, instant blood clots. And, you know, nobody's going to be held accountable for it. They were granted immunity by our government. So they can kill off a lot of us. And they're not even, like, killing us off quick. They're slow and painful. You know, the sadistic people, I'm sure they're enjoying that. You see, in young kids, just dropping dead, college kids dropping dead. They couldn't get on campus until they had their vaccine. And then you put them on a football field and they drop dead. They're not going to hold the campus responsible, the university, for forcing them into it. And there was no guarantee, there was no government forced vaccination. It was take it or lose your job. But then you signed the paper to take it. So that was informed consent. You consented to it. And they said, well, we didn't force anybody to get a vaccine. You strong-armed them into it. No, you didn't hold them down and put the needle in their arm, but you promised to destroy them, take away their money, take away their jobs, take away their livelihoods, take away their standing in the community, take away everything that they did on a normal day. Can't go to a restaurant, can't go to a church, can't go to a bar, can't go to a school, can't go inside a store or a bank. But no, we didn't force you. Yeah, they did. Not all force is throwing you down in a chair and shoving a needle in your arm. There's other ways to force people too. Make it impossible for them to refuse. That's still forcing. It's coercion. That's a RICO crime.
Well, they're trying to say they didn't force you so that if you sue them, they could say you did it on your own. That's the only way.
Yeah. You consented. Yes. Because you had to sign a paper to get that shot. And the lot and batch number was recorded. So they know exactly which shot you got, whether you got the live virus, the dead virus, the placebo. This was one giant experiment. And all that data got sent back to the CDC. So they know which shot you had, what bottle it came from. You know, they changed the recipe a couple of times too, so. And these drug companies, they made billions, trillions. So they're going to do it again. Absolutely, they're going to do it again. They even told us they were going to do it again.
Yeah, they said to expect something in 2025.
Right. So they already told us.
Yeah, and the sad thing is most people didn't even know.
No. And anybody who tried to tell them was banned from speaking. And they said that they had fact checkers checking the facts. Yeah, the fact checkers. One of them worked at the lab. Another one worked for Pfizer. Another one worked for Moderna. Those were the fact checkers. So of course they're going to say that, oh, it was fact checked by an independent and found to be not true. Yeah, well, your fact checker worked for the lab and for the drug companies. Of course, they get paid to tell you it's not true. And the drug companies are the biggest retailers on television. You can't put your television on without seeing a commercial for some drug, whether it's Trilogy or Voltaire or whatever else they're trying to sell to you. You know, shingles vaccines. You can't watch 10 minutes of television without seeing some drug advertised on that TV. because the drug companies are the biggest advertisers. And, you know, like Pfizer, that's the biggest account on Fox News. You know that?
No,
that's
I knew that.
That's the biggest advertising account.
It's also the biggest on CNN and ESPN,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, the biggest on CNN, too, on all the major networks. And they got plenty of money to buy all the ad space on every channel. We just gave them trillions. Oh, that sounds like we got to go. All right, guys.
Yeah,
I'll see you all next
here.
Wednesday. Proof, thank you so much.
Hey, I will be here next Wednesday. I need Monday and Tuesday off, though.
Okay. Well, call me if you need me to jump in.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
I'll
I love
take you.
Stay
up
safe.
On that. So, everyone else, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I have.